The next speaker is Jean Livet, also from the Institut de la Vision in Paris. Jean, as we see, is working on new genetic technique to label neurons and cells in the brain using a transgenic approach and multicolor techniques. So thanks, Jean.
Thank you, Alain. Thank you very much for the invitation to speak in this great symposium. So I will, as Alain said, talk about the strategies that we have developed recently to try to tackle both the problem of looking at circuits in the retina and also in the brain, and also looking at the development of these circuits. So we can only marvel at the incredible structure of the retinal network with many different types of cells and subtypes of cells that are interconnected in a very complex manner. And a key problem is to really look at the structure of those circuits, but also to understand how they can develop from apparently seemingly progenitors or stem cells in the embryo. So how do these progenitors generate the many different cell types of the mature retinal circuit? And so and how do they share this task? And so there is lots of questions in the field about progenitor heterogeneity, the regulation of these progenitors, and the distribution of their output. And similarly, regarding connectivity, there are also questions regarding how individual neurons share the task of making the neural networks. And similarly to the question about progenitors, we can ask the questions about the neuronal heterogeneity, their plasticity in terms of establishing networks, and also how the fine-scale organization of the circuits is set. And these questions, which we can ask in the retina, which is a marvelous model because of its highly stereotyped organization, are also highly relevant in the brain proper, for instance, in the cortex, where the same questions can be asked about the biology of neuronal progenitors and also the organization of their progeny in the brain and also the organization of the neuronal networks. And so we've been interested in trying to look at this with a novel perspective and in particular realizing the fact that for really understanding how things are organized and developed in the brain, we would need technique to access the connectivity of the neural cells and also the lineage of these cells, that is the developmental history of these cells, with a single cell resolution at the whole cell population level and also in intact neural tissue. And for this, there has been a number of approaches that allowed to label the progeny of single cells and clonal labeling approach, for instance, which mark individual clones of cells in neural tissue. But we've been trying to do an approach that would allow to multiplex these single cell approaches with combinations of marker, in essence, with BRAINBOW labeled. So what is BRAINBOW? It is an approach to distribute fluorescent proteins of different colors or combination of fluorescent proteins of different colors in cells of a population. For instance, here you can see in a Taiwan BRAINBOW animal labeling of neurons in the dentate gyrus of a transgenic animal. And while I initially developed this technique to look at connectivity when I was a postdoc with Jeff Lichtman at Harvard University, it's been a pleasure to see that this technique has been adopted pretty widely, but for quite a different purpose, which is for the purpose of cell lineage tracing. For instance, the first application of this scheme of multicolor lineage tracing was published by the group of Hans Clevers in 2010, using BRAINBOW labels to look at the development or at the renewal of the gut epithelium. And you can see here clones labeled with distinct colors in the gut epithelium. And this approach is increasingly used to analyze stem cell fate, stem cell diversity, and stem cell dynamics in a variety of models. But so far, it hasn't been used too much in the brain, I think, for a technical reason. And for that reason, we decided with my colleague, Karine Houllier, who is here in the room, and also with the help of an engineer, Raphaël Barry, to develop an optimized Brembo methods for cell lineage tracing in the nervous system. And the work that we've been doing was to develop new transgenes, which provide an expanded palette of label, which would be more amenable to the tracking of neural clones in the sort of dispersing environment of the neural tissue, 3D environment. And the new transgene that we propose make three possible recombination choices between different pairs of lock sites, which allow this transgene to switch randomly expression from expression of a nuclear blue protein to, which is seen here in gray and white, to three distinct recombination outcome, 1, 2, and 3 here, which each drive the expression of a distinct RGB color marker. And so we obtain three colors that are randomly distributed in recombined cells, pretty with pretty equiprobable in a pretty equiprobable manner. This to further expand the palette of marker available for lineage tracing, we have also developed different transgenes with subcellular localization addresses, such as this transgene here, which drives expression of the three RGB markers in the nuclei of labeled cells, and this other transgene that drives expression at the membrane of the labeled cells. And so the combination of two of these markers, for instance, generates a much more expanded palette of label compared to utilization of just a single localization. So you can see here the application of the Brembo labeling also with sparse with electroporation in the embryo in the cortex, where we can see here combination of nuclear and cytoplasmic stain. These techniques makes it possible to distribute the labels with relative sparseness in order which makes a convenient labeling for analyzing cells at a density where they can be resolved. And to make it possible to follow clonal development in the nervous system, we have also combined these new transgenes with acute genome integrative strategies, such as transposon vectors, which make it possible to, through electroporation, to integrate the labels in the genome of the electroporated progenitors in the developing nervous system. And in this manner, the labels are inherited by the progeny of those cells, the neurons that here migrate radially, and they are stably inherited, allowing to identify clones of cells based on their combination of markers. You can see here different clones that are labeled here in this electroporated cheek spinal cord. And based on the proportion of color label that the cells express, it is then possible to unmix or to separate intermingled clones that express different marker combinations, such as here, and we can sort of decompose a region of the nervous system in different clones with this approach. So then we are, of course, interested in applying this scheme in the retina, and this has been the work of Raphaël, with also now taken by a PhD student, Frank Morino. And so here our aim is to assay the equivalence and the regulation of retinal progenitors in animal models. And to this aim, we use the approach of the electroporation of genome integrative Brembo markers, so-called MAGIC markers. So these markers can be introduced in the genome of neuroepithelial cells at very early stage, at the optic vesicle stage, and then after development of the animal for an arbitrary time, we can stop the development and image the entire retina in a flat mount configuration in 3D with confocal microscopy to locate the position of labeled cells and clones. And so on the next slide, you will see an application of this scheme in the chicken retina, where we can evidently see different clones of cells that are labeled with distinct color combinations. And we can also see that here this image is the levels have been a little boosted, but we can see so that you can see the axons of the retinal ganglion cells that go towards the optic nerve. So we can, with this approach, look at with single cell resolution in the intact retinal tissue. And we can also analyze, so this was a young retina at sort of mid development in the chicken, but we can also analyze the retina at a more mature stage when the different cell types and subtypes are formed and have started to interconnect. Here you can see this flat mount view of the retina, and here this is a resliced view showing the different layers of the retina with bipolar cells, amacrine cells, ganglion cells, and also the inner plexiform layer. And in this this flat mount view, we can isolate different clonal groups which have been which originate from the progenitors that have been labeled very early during development. And this model allows us to test the approach that we develop, looking in particular whether the clonal labels are maintained and in different cells of the same clone. And we can see here in these different clones that the result is pretty good, with excellent maintenance of color labels, in particular within cells of same type, and also a good maintenance between cells of between different cell types, and so this approach we think can be used to analyze clonal development in a very high throughput manner in the developing chicken spinal cord, and also conveniently it allows to see the I couldn't resist sharing this picture with you of the marvelous organization of the projection of the labeled cells in the inner plexiform layer of the retina, with exquisite regularity of the projection in the chicken model. So, of course, it's important to be able to analyze clones labeled at different time points. And to the same, Frank Moreno has developed an approach to control the induction of magic marker in a temporal manner. So the first protocol that we have seen was to electroporate the markers at a very early stage and then look at a later stage of development. But with CRE-ER inducible recombinase, he can induce clones at any time point in development with a tamoxifen drug. And you can see the result of this labeling here. And on the next slide, you will see a little video where we see in 3D the organization of a portion of the retina with clones marked a little at the beginning of the neurogenesis period, with where clones, sort of these two sibling clones here, can be labeled with that are labeled, and the position of each cell can be analyzed, and then identified based on their layer positioning. So these are. To give you a glimpse at what Frank is now doing, he's able to analyze the composition of these clones in terms of types, but also to now he's starting to look at the clonal composition of these the composition of these clones in terms of subtypes, looking both at markers and also at the layer sublayer positioning of the dendrites of these cells, which can be analyzed for each individual clone. After the retina, we've also, of course, been interested to transpose the same approach to the mouse cortex. And this has been the work of Karine with the help of talented PhD student Solène Clavreul. And our aim here is, as in the retina, to analyze the potentialities of cortical progenitors and their contribution to the pyramidal network and also the glial network, in particular the astrocytes that are generated at a late time point in development. And here there are challenges, which are to label the progenitors that generate these two cell types before they start to generate the cells, and also to image the clones that are labeled entirely in situ in the 3D brain. So to label astrocytes, Solène showed here that it's possible to do that only with electroporation at E13 before the start of astrogenesis in the cortex. And that's a very efficient way of labeling clones of cells in the cortex with here these color markers that are indicative of their lineage. To label the pyramidal cells, however, it is more challenging because these cells are generated earlier in development. And so to target those cells, Karine has developed new lines of mice with general expression of the cytoplasmic and nuclear Brembo transgenes, which she can then cross with tamoxifen-inducible Cre mice, and in this manner, making it possible to label the clones with injection of tamoxifen at a stage when electroporation is not yet possible. Here is a few views of the new mice that Karine generated. You can see here that we have a very general expression of the red, blue, and green label distributed randomly in the neural tissue. Here is a slightly higher magnification view, where you can see that the different cell types, neurons, but also astrocytes, and also we think oligodendrocytes can be labeled in these mice. And when the by lowering the dose of tamoxifen, Karine manages to individualize clones of neurons, and so we think that this approach is a very efficient way for high throughput clonal analysis in the developing cortex to look at the development of the pyramidal network. Also, with dense recombination, the mice provide an interesting look at the CITO architecture and the interaction of cells in the developing brain. For instance, you can see here different astrocytes lining blood vessels and making that each occupy a different portion of the surface of this blood vessel. So another a key challenge is also to image the labeled cells, in particular because cells can extensively disperse in the brain during development. Clonal cells can disperse very much. It is essential to have a way to image the labeled cells with very high resolution so we can identify them precisely and in the intact tissue. And to do this, we have been fortunate to meet and collaborate with a group of Emmanuel Beaurepaire at the Laboratory of Optics and Bioscience at École Polytechnique in Palaiseau, who have developed a very interesting scheme to efficiently excite simultaneously three distinct fluorescent proteins, which are, by chance, exactly the one we use for the Brembo transgene, cyan, yellow, and red fluorescent protein. And this scheme is very efficient to image large volume of Brembo labeled sample. This is here a portion of a cortex that is reconstituted with very high resolution, micrometric resolution. This portion is more about half a millimeter thick, and you can see the very nice morphology and the very nice the very high resolution of this technique and the sensitivity in each of the three channels that compose the Brembo image. So finally, to finish, after having talked about the approaches for cell lineage tracing, I want now to present you a few of our efforts to look at connectivity. And this here, this is the work of Katie Matto, a former PhD student who is now in the postdoc in the laboratory of Josh Young at Cold Spring Harbor, with the help of Lamia Abdeladim, who is working with Emmanuel Beaurepaire at Polytechnique. And our idea has been to use color labels to look at a very interesting circuit, which is not in the visual system, but in the auditory system, which is the binaural projection, which is known to make a very large synapse called the calyx of Held. And you can see some of those synapses here labeled with Brembo label in transgenic animals. So the Brembo animals had been very useful to look in particular at the convergence of axons in some of those cells here in the medial nucleus of the trapezoid body, which is the name for this nucleus where the binaural axon converge. But we have had difficulty to trace back those axons over a very long distance. And to bypass this problem, Kelly has developed an approach where she used adeno-associated vectors that she injects here in the neurons of interest, and which she showed very efficiently labeled the projection of those cells in multiple colors. And so this provides us a way to analyze the connectivity in the in the binaural network. And you can see here a reconstruction that we have made with the group of Emmanuel Beaurepaire of this labeled network. So here, this is pretty downsampled, but we can visualize here the MNTB here. And the axons that cross the midline toward the MNTB are each labeled here. And we can see that even on this image, which is has very low resolution, we can individualize different individual axons. Here is a higher view of a single optical plane, showing that we can pretty efficiently see the individual synapses in distinct colors here, which is now in turn makes it possible to trace those axons over very long distances. These are across the midline over multiple hundreds of micrometer. And you can see here a little movie, showing the organization of this network with the topographically organized projection arriving in the MNTB and then the axons following different courses as they arrive in the MNTB. Finally, this approach for viral multicolor labeling is, I think, quite interesting, not only in the context of the brain, but also in the retina. And in particular, we've been interested with a group of Serge Picot of applying this approach with the challenge that John was one of the challenges that John Wyatt was mentioning earlier this morning, which is to look at projections of retinal cells in primate or possibly primate explants for analyzing how the foveal projections are organized. And to the same, it's the viral approach makes a very very tempting possibility. And here is the images that has been recently acquired by two students working with Serge Picot that show that this viral multicolor viral labeling scheme can be very efficiently applied in the retina. This is the mouse retina here, but you can see here a little movie that shows the if it's starting, which is not the case now, will provide you, we can see here the going through the different layers of the retina, we can see a pretty well individual cells and some of their projections also in this with this method. So in summary, I have shared with you our results on schemes for tracing neural cell lineage with magic markers for multicolor clonal analysis in the central nervous system. These markers provide an expanded palette of markers, and also we use acute genomic integration approaches to integrate them in the genome of progenitors, which makes it possible to apply this scheme in non-genetically tractable animals. The new mouse lines that we have generated for general expression of the cytoplasmic and nuclear Brembo transgenes. For the problem of tracing neural connectivity, this new approach for with multicolor AAV vectors, which we think is pretty broadly applicable to look at individual axons. And finally, also a 3D high-resolution imaging approach, which is essential to look both at the connectivity and the cell lineage in large volumes of Brembo-labeled brain samples. With this, I want to thank the people that participated in this work, in particular Karine Houllier, also Solène Clavreul and Franck Morino, Cathy Matou, Raphaël Barry, and the people in at Polytechnique, Lamia Abdeladim, Emmanuel Beaurepaire, and the Grégory Gauvin and Antoine Rescala, who developed who transposed the viral labeling approach in the retina. Thank you.